WLRN tells the stories of South Florida and sometimes beyond. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. Every day, thousands of people use the Sunshine Skyway Bridge to cross Tampa Bay. Hundreds of people have also used the bridge to end their lives. Now we hear from one man who jumped and survived. This story could be disturbing to some listeners.
My name is Hans Jones, and I jumped off of the Skyway Bridge, off the crest of it, approximately 200 feet to the water, and I hit the water at 75 miles an hour. At the time, I was brokenhearted. I had lost my love. I allowed myself bitterness and pain and frustration to overcome me, and I said awful things to my wife. We got in a fight, and felt like the end of the world. I'd lost any control over my life's work. I'd spent years and years and years. I'd even lived in the back of a van in this effort to file a patent and create a product. I just wanted to escape this pain. I felt this incredible loss, and I was just losing the most important thing in the entire world to me. It put me in this kind of tunnel vision. You're going up there, and you're just going there with this mad objective, an insane objective, out of my mind. And I drove up, and I thought it was all over.
Golf Rescue 4 Medical Emergency.
My name is Seth Jacobson. I'm a firefighter paramedic. I've been one for almost 30 years with St. Petersburg Fire and Rescue Department, stationed at the north end of the Sunshine Skyway Bridge.
We have callers, multiple callers, usually is the clue that something really is going on. And they'll see a car on the side of the road and a person off the side of the bridge.
Sometimes there's a confrontation at the top. I know that the fellow I had who had the noose around his neck and the knife to his neck and he was going to jump, I consider it almost a miracle that we even got him back off of that bridge alive.
And those that are committed to suicide, they drive up to the top, they just get out of the car and off the edge they go.
I always compare it to jumping that same distance and striking concrete.
The long bones of the body will fracture. The skull may fracture. The hollow organs inside the body may rupture because they've got air in them.
Once they hit the water, they're at the mercy of the currents.
If we don't find a body right there, we assume they survive, and we do a search effort.
I guess there's been some jumpers that have never been found.
And if they do happen to survive the fall and then through the water, they plunge several feet down under the water, and they drown on the way back up.
I don't know what a person's thinking that would do that, because they're going to put themselves in a really bad way for the rest of their lives if they don't kill themselves.
It is not a dramatic way to die. It is a very ugly, painful way to die from what our victims experience.
Why? Because it was only my feelings and emotions that were driving me. I had at that point in my life not taken charge of these things. Chaos and frustration and pain. Let's just say you go real, real deep. That initial moment, it was like gonna let it go. No. The superhuman inside comes alive. You're going to make it. And it takes over. And it is instinct. Between the top and the bottom, a big decision was made. A decision to stay alive.
Thank you for calling the Crisis Center of Tampa Bay.
We have a number of different phone lines on the bridge. And if you're going to pick up the phone, it's because there's a part of you that wants to stay alive.
Whatever that part is, that's the part of them that we really want to reach and that we really want to hold on to.
And when you're feeling like you have no options, like you're coming out of your own skin,
you've got to gain their trust so that they know that you understand where they're coming from and are able to actually make that decision to work with you and take that step back from the bridge.
I think it appeals to people because it is violent and it is drastic and it is permanent.
Dealing with something as lethal as the bridge, you have very little chance of surviving once you do take that step.
At 200 feet, it changes the rules, because you can't break the surface tension of that water. It breaks you when you enter it. I had to swim with a broken neck, broken ribs, a collapsed lung, half a quarter of the distance of a football field. and the waves rode me into the rocks. And I grabbed that rock and I held on. Those guys in the boat, man, they were down there quick. They helped me up and I got the boat. And then when the boat took off was when the real pain starts. And the boat goes until you pass out. Imagine your worst toothache ever, except everywhere.
My name is Phil. I run SkywayBridge.com. It's a site documenting these suicides off the Skyway Bridge. But family members don't appreciate it. They don't like it at all, and I've had death threats, and I've had people actively seeking me out. There's people that are like 16 years old jumping off that bridge. Then you got people like 80s and older. I can understand that, late in life, but the kids, I just don't get it. When I get mail from people who are positively affected by it, who find closure with their family that have jumped, I decide just to keep the site up. I'm sure that I've prevented somebody from jumping off this bridge, because I know I've had people contact me fully intent on killing themselves, and they're still hanging around. So I don't know if I'm some sort of counselor for some of these people, but it's working, people. You can try to kill me. I'm sorry your loved one didn't make it, and I'm sorry their name is on this site, and people might have made fun of them for having jumped off the bridge, but it's helping others.
When I woke up in the hospital, I got a cop at the front door, you know, make sure I'm not leaving. I'm strapped down, and I got a halo on my head and everything else, and then the thing that just tore me to pieces more than anything else was my mom. I mean, I had hurt my mother that much. My mother was devastated. That was a big slap in the face. I just broke down. My mother looked one look at me, and I just started crying. I was crying because I hurt her. It had nothing to do with what I was feeling. My ribs are broke. I'm all f***ed up. You know, they had medication, everything. But my mother looked at me, it cut right through me like a knife. Here, you give me this life and I throw it away. How did it change my life? The jump? I mean, that now we crack up jokes about it, you know. I mean, out at the beach with my buddies having a beer and they call me Splash. You know, it's all right. You know, I mean, my life is happy. I'm a lucky guy. Do I feel as if though I've been given a second chance in life? And the answer is absolutely yes. And then the most beautiful thing really did happen. Me and the girl get back together, and then it did work out. And I've learned over the years to have kinder things to say. You know, life is beautiful. And then go figure, I still smoke a pack of cigarettes a day.
That story was produced by Rich Halton. It's part of a radio documentary he did with support from the Transom Donor Fund. You can find a link to that documentary at WLRN.org. And tune in next week at this time for another piece by Rich Halton. This one's about the 50th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis. From the Miami Herald Newsroom, I'm Alicia Zuckerman.